let's talk about splitting and borderline personality disorder. First of all, what is splitting? Okay. So we humans have this superpower called dissociation. Dissociation is us being able to block other things out while we do something. When we're given a novel stimulus, those of us that don't have PTSD have a wave called a P200 wave to go through our brain that blocks out everything but we're focusing on. And here we're focusing on it. And it's just a form of healthy dissociation. Mm-hmm. You know, you drive down the road and then you don't remember what has happened in the last 10 minutes because you've been thinking about, you know, what are you going to have for dinner when you get home? Well, your procedural memory is driving safely while you're using your mind for something else. Again, human superpower, dissociation. There's a particular form of dissociation that tends to cause problems in human society currently, and that's splitting. And here's what splitting is. Splitting is there is some kind of trigger or stimulus or something that's threatening or alarming. And we split off from our wise, compassionate self, self-observant, wise self. All of us have some of that. Mm-hmm. And we become a self that is distorted, distressed, has a black and white story, and wants to attack or flee, okay? So that's psychological splitting, and it gets in the way, and we all do it, okay? Another adjunct of this that I've mentioned numerous times, we are literally different people in different states of consciousness. Our brain maintains this illusion of continuity of self, but continuity of self is largely an artifact of that. There is a continuing Corey that goes back to earliest memory, or Keith that goes back to earliest memory. But along the way, we've been many, many, many selves. Now, developmentally, in our ontological evolution, we can develop enough of a witness to observe the shifts from self to self to self to self, state to state to state to state. And that witness is quite powerful and function of contemplative practice.
And if there is a source of that continuity of consciousness, it probably lies with the witness itself, right? I mean, the witness is what is effortlessly aware of all these different constructs that, you know, form my self-concept. And, you know, as you mentioned, my self-concept can be quite different, not just stage to stage, but moment to moment, context to context. I'm a different Corey with my daughter than I am with Keith, than I am with my wife, than I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's, you know, I contain multitudes.
If we can notice that splitting thing happen and mm-hmm. reach for compassion and understanding, as we do that, we're activating the wise self, the witness, and good things happen. Essentially, what happens under those circumstances is horizontal and vertical development. Because as we work for wise self says, hey, you know, what's the appropriate and healthy way to deal with whatever we're dealing with? And as we do that, we change just a little bit because every situation can teach us something if we're open to learning. So everybody splits. Everybody has a challenge in modern society of learning how to do something with splitting that's better than just indulging the impulses that go along with it. It's a necessary human skill. And it's hard because that kind of self-awareness, that kind of self-observation only comes online when we're formal operational, 11, 12, 13. So we can learn to be kind, we can strengthen that, and we can learn to reach for wisdom. That wise self in us is observing, but is largely non-cognitive up until 12 or 13 when you can bring the cognitive component in line. The reason why I say that is like a 4 or 5-year-old can feel goodness, can feel authenticity and so on, but can't articulate that. They don't have the cognitive capacities, but they have that intuitive sense that often is quite reliable. Mm-hmm. Now, 0.4 to about 5.4% of the population has a condition known as borderline personality disorder. And, you know, 15 to 19% of the population have personality disorders. And one of the most famous ones is borderline personality disorder. Everybody knows about borderline personality disorder. Okay, characterizes borderline personality disorder is threatened. If they'll be connected like you and I are connected. Something will happen that's threatening and they will split. And when they split, there's a rage of distress, anger, fear, and so on, and a strong impulse to attack the other person and to keep attacking. And there's a lot of psychological explanations from this, about this, all of which are accurate, but incomplete, you know, integral, you know, we want to make it more complete. And people make the mistake of, and so that a signature is called shifting dichotomizing, that going from we're okay to no, you're the devil and, you know, I have to attack you. People think that that splitting equals borderline personality disorder, but that's really not the major feature. The major feature of borderline personality disorder is that that happens and the person has little or no capacity to self-observe it, okay? And if they're in a community of the adequate with somebody else, if it's you or me and you and I are splitting, mm-hmm. and you go, you know, Keith, I think that you were late because you're trying to drive me. I was a couple of minutes late because I think you're late because you're being passive aggressive and trying to drive me crazy. And, you know, and I'm sick and tired of you doing that. And I said, you know, Corrett, I think you're a little bit distorted now. You'll go, yeah, you're probably right. I have some things on my mind. I have to pack for Hawaii and everything. Okay, that's normal crazy. Okay, it's just normal crazy people split. Somebody gives them a little bit of heads up. You go, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Okay.
I just want to make it clear, we did not have this conversation. This is a hypothetical conversation.
This is a hypothetical, right? So hypothetical. Corey has never split at me, to my knowledge. But see, maybe he did and regulated it, okay? Because that's what healthy people do. Healthy people find those little surges and then regulate them into kindness, compassionate understanding, and so on. Signature feature of borderline personality disorder is they can't self-observe. And when it's pointed out, they get more hostile. More crazy. And that causes a lot of problems. Particularly it causes problems because, as I said many times, the worst addiction that human beings suffer from is violence. Violence is addictive. If you allow yourself to objectify and attack another person for gratification or for profit or for release or for whatever advantage, you get a little rush from that. And so now your unconscious is being reinforced for splitting, being reinforced mm-hmm. for doing violence to other people, and then starts generating belief systems that support that. And of course, we see that at every level of magenta. We see it when tribes have to exclude somebody. We see it at red when, you know, you're messing with me or you have to submit you're the leader. I have to submit to you even though I don't want to. And Amber, we see it. They're the other. They're not the believers. So we'll have to, you know, torture them until they're saved. And we can see it in orange. There's winners and losers. If you're a loser, go be a winner like me. Fuck you. We see it in green in Twitter mobs and woke attacks on conservative speakers. Everybody has their own form of doing this. We see it in mm-hmm. mass formation psychosis and political movements, fascism and so on. The more you do it, the more you're likely to do it. Now, a question arises out of this. Why are people like this? You know, why do we have this kind of diversity? Why do we have psychopaths? Why do we have narcissistic personality disorders? Why do we have borderline personality disorders? Why do we have dependent personalities? Why do we have autism? And the challenge, of course, is what do we do with it as we engage in our ontological evolution? Because right now we're in a fragmented society where there's a lot of social isolation and we have to kind of grow on our own.
I think there's another aspect here too, Keith, especially in context of a conversation you and I had last month, which is about the Cambrian explosion of human intelligence itself.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I often think about is how each of us individually is an expression of this larger biopsychosocial ecosystem that all of us are part of and all of us belong to, right? This ecosystem in many, you know, sort of direct ways is speaking and acting and moving through us individually. And I think a lot of these conditions that we're seeing, a lot of these psychological conditions, or a lot of just the overall neurodiversity that we're beginning to recognize, you know, particularly over the last 15, 20 years, and not just recognize, but really making a space for. I mean, this really lands for me, because when I look back through history, one of the things that I notice is that so much of human history has been directly driven, moved, shaped by psychopaths, right? By ADD, narcissists.
Attention deficit people.
By ADD, 100%. By autism. A lot of the greatest minds in history were likely autistic, right? So in a lot of ways, it's like this, again, this biopsychosocial ecosystem has a fringe to it. And on that fringe, it's almost, you know, it's kind of like speciation, right? Where there's just a lot of sort of genetic experiments out there on the fringe. And some of them are going to serve the species as a whole. Some of them are going to lead us into some evolutionary sort of cul-de-sacs and dead ends and so forth. But it feels to me like a lot of this has actually been one of the main drivers of history. It's been one of the main drivers of progress, even if in the short term, some of that driving isn't, you know, is kind of awful or uncomfortable or inflicting suffering. Still, even that is part of this larger evolutionary, collective evolutionary, again, speciation. It's a speciation of the human mind itself and all the flavors and varieties of mind that we find.
And from a global standpoint, you can see it's a rising tide. Now, I'm not talking about the glaciers melting, though that's happening too. There's more tolerance for diversity without attack in the world. Okay. Yeah. And I am confident that that will continue, even though I think that a lot of the diversity, equity and inclusion stuff is wrongheaded, focusing on the wrong things. The fact that that's a thing, that in universities, diversity of opinion is not being allowed. You know, as long as you have the right opinion, you know, then you can be, you know, crippled or you can, you know, have a disability, or you can be any kind of ethnicity. But God help you if you have a diverse opinion. Yeah. But, you know, that's going to change.
If you're not exactly as inclusive as we are in the same way we are, then we're going to exclude you because we're so inclusive. This is why comics and humorists, I think, remain one of the most important sort of classes of artists on this planet. I mean, because they are the ones who, again, they're standing right intentionally, deliberately, provocatively standing on these lines, these zone four lines, right? The outside of the lower left. What is permissible? Right. What is taboo? And they're the ones who are actually showing us where that line is drawn at any given time. And the artwork, of course, is knowing how to step just past that line in a way that expands that circle, right? The circle widens. We become more permissive, the more fun, the more humor we can bring to these, you know, to the absurdity of our daily lives in the first place. I think what interferes with that, Keith, is when we allow and when our surrounding culture sort of reinforces this increasing opacity of my ego and my identity. My identity is sacred. Right? You're not allowed to make a joke about my identity because, Jesus, that's the worst possible violation you could bring. And again, it's sort of coming part and parcel with this new kind of emerging left-wing conservatism that we're starting to see.